Morning, everyone. My name is Ajay Gulati, and today I'll be talking about PERDA, which is a mechanism to do proportionate allocation of I/O resources in a distributed storage access environment. This work is done in collaboration with my colleagues Irfan Ahmed and Carl Walzberger at VMware. So the problem that we are trying to tackle here is, in a virtual data center, you may have various virtual machines accessing the same storage LAN, and the virtual machines may have different priorities. For example, here, online store and Microsoft Exchange are much more important compared to a low priority data mining workload. So on a normal day, everything is well and good, everyone is happy, but let's say at the end of the month or a week, the data mining kicks in, and then the other workloads, they start suffering. Now, this is a bad scenario that you don't want to see. What you want to see is a situation where the high priority workloads are still getting what they need, and the low priority workload should not be able to affect it. So let's look at a more specific example. So in reality, the setup is even more complicated. You have multiple virtual machines running on multiple hosts, and the hosts would be accessing the same data store through a clustered file system, which in our case is VMFS. And you may notice that there is no central control on this I/O path. So you cannot just put in a proxy and put a centralized scheduler to do the fair queuing. So what can happen is that hosts would be able to adversely affect each other's I/O performance, both in terms of throughput and latency. And it gets very hard to respect per VM allocations in this environment, where what we mean by per VM allocation is that each VM is assigned some shares, which is equivalent to the notion of weights, which specify the relative priority. For example, we may assign VMs these share values, which are 10, and in some cases 20, 30, or 50, and they should get performance proportional to these values. And these values can also be summarized to say that host should get something in proportion to 30, 30, and 100. So the goal of our mechanism is to provide isolation between different VM workloads while trying to maximize the array utilization. Let's look at an even more concrete example of this, where we actually take this setup and we run it in a real environment. So in this case, we take four hosts, and the first two hosts are running two VMs, which are running OLTP workload, and the other two hosts are running Windows VM running IOMeter workload. And on the top, you can see the VM shares that we assign, which sum up to the host shares at the bottom. So we run this system, and what we see is that in each host, we run a local scheduler, which is SFQ, start time fair queuing. It's a well-known varied fair queuing mechanism. And the VMs on the single host do get IOs in proportion to the shares that we assign. But what we don't see is that the two hosts, in this case, let's say host 1 and 2, they should get something in proportion to 30 and 20, but they do get equal performance. Similarly, host 3 and 4, instead of getting 1:2, they get equal performance. So the problem becomes that we do see isolation among VMs within the host, but there is nothing that guarantees any isolation across host. So the I/O performance essentially becomes dependent on the VM placement, and we need a mechanism that can actually dictate how much east each host should be getting, which is sort of similar to a flow control problem where you want to say which host should get how many resources from the array. So we look at an analogy to the already well-known flow control in networks that we are all well aware of. In case of network is almost like a black box to the host, and they don't know the current state of the network. Similarly, in case of array is a black box to the host, and they don't know what's going on inside. In case of network, we still detect congestion using round trip time and packet loss. Similarly, in case of array, one can try to detect congestion based on the I/O latencies one sees from the array. Packet loss is sort of unlikely because most storage applications, they expect their IOs to go through and return in a small amount of time. In case of network, TCP adapts the window size at each of the hosts individually. Similarly, in case of storage, one can try to adapt the number of pending IO requests. We also call it window size in this talk and paper at each of the hosts. By adapting the window size, TCP ensures some sort of fair sharing, and there are variants like fast TCP which go a step further, and they ensure proportional sharing. Similarly, in our scheme, we would like to be able to adapt the window size in proportion to the shares or the weight that we assign to the host. So let's look at what control mechanism we use in order to do this. So here is the overall architecture that we have in our system. There are multiple hosts. Each of them is running a set of VMs. And internal to the host, there is SFQ scheduler that can do fair allocation among the VMs. And then the hosts have host-level issue queues, which basically denote how many IOs have been issued by the host that are currently pending at the array. And the overall array queue would essentially have the number of IOs equal to the sum of host-level issue queues. Now you can think of a naive mechanism in which we say, let's statically assign the value of host-level issue queues based on the shares that a host has. But the problem with that would be that if you assign too small a value, then if one host becomes idle, other won't be able to take advantage of that fact. Similarly, if you assign very large values to begin with, then there is no isolation left to do. So what we would like is the queue length that the host have should vary dynamically based on what is the current level of congestion at the array, how many hosts are currently accessing and being sending IOs and not. And this should happen at a short enough time scale that we are also efficient in terms of doing it. So in order to compute these window sizes, we use the following equation, which is motivated by the fast TCP mechanism. In this case, periodically we compute the new value of window size at each host based on the current window size and certain other parameters that I'll explain here. So the first parameter they use is the cluster-wide average latency, which is basically the average latency that each host sees, and we take an average over the cluster. Second main parameter is latency threshold, which is scripted L in this case, which is sort of the operating point for the control algorithm. And what it essentially says that if your average latency goes above the latency threshold, it would try to, it would start throttling the host. If it is below the latency threshold, it would allow the host to increase the window size. The third parameter is the beta, which is a parameter that we set and which is proportional to the host level shares that we want to give to a certain host. And the final parameter is gamma, which is just a smoothing parameter between 0 and 1. So what do we get from this particular equation? So there are three nice properties that we have with the equation. First, it tries to maintain the high utilization at the array. And the way it does it is, it maintains the overall queue at the array proportional to the throughput that you are currently seeing multiplied by the latency threshold. You can see that if you make latency threshold higher, overall window sizes would be higher. Similarly, when the array throughput goes up and the latency goes down, overall window sizes would be higher. So it turns out to be a product of these two. Similarly, it has the ability to allocate the queue sizes in proportion to the host shares, which we denote as beta in this equation. And finally, it has the ability to control the overall latency in the cluster at which you want to operate it. So you can set the latency threshold value to 20 milliseconds versus 50 milliseconds, and it would try to operate near that latency. And all these properties have been theoretically shown in the fast TCP paper, and we also ran simulations to verify these properties. But so far I have talked about that we are trying to compute this window size, but in storage the main question is, what is your unit of allocation? What are you promising the VM in terms of fair access? So there are two main units that exist in storage. One is bandwidth, which is usually megabytes per second. And the second is throughput, which is in IOPS. And both have issues with different kind of workloads. If you use bandwidth to allocate resources, you may really hurt the workloads with large IO sizes because their bandwidth number would run up very fast. Similarly, if you use IOPS, you may hurt the VMs we use that do sequential IO. In Purdah, we try a new mechanism, which is we try to allocate the queue slots at the array. What that says is, think of array having a large queue, and you try to partition the queue among different VMs, and now based on what kind of performance the workload is getting at the array, for example, a workload which is getting hit in the cache a lot or which is doing sequential IO may get faster response and may be able to recycle the queue slots much faster than the other. So what this gives us is the advantage that it may actually maintain the high efficiency at the array, which otherwise we would try to perturb by using one of the other two units. Now, it all looks nice in general, but once we try to map the problem and once we implement it in storage, we ran into a couple of storage-specific issues. So some of the issues are very well-known. For example, the throughput varies by almost an order of magnitude based on different workload characteristics. Similarly, the I/O size can vary from half a kilobyte to half a megabyte. And the array has internal complexity in terms of caching and different paths for reads and writes. And essentially, what may happen that the host may not see the same latency from the array. And because they see different values of latency, it becomes hard to operate on the locally computed value of latency. So what we do to resolve this is, one, we try to do latency normalization for large I/O sizes. The details are in the paper. And the second, we compute the cluster-wide average latency using a shared file on the same LAN so that everybody is using the same consistent signal and not trying to operate on the latencies that they observe locally. Another main issue with storage workloads is the burst handling of the workload. So in this case, what I'm showing on top, there is the host queue, which I have colored using different VMs. So there are four VMs. Each has different number of slots in the host queue. And when all VMs are active, things are looking nice. They are getting their own share. But let's say VM2 becomes idle for some time. In this case, other VMs would be able to take advantage of the fact that there are some slots open, and they would be able to send IOs, and some short-term burst would get absorbed. So if there are any short-term bursts, we allow people or the VMs to use the slots in the queue, and there is no strict partitioning of the host-level queue within VMs. But let's say the idleness persists over a long period. In that case, we recompute the beta on the host based on the VM activity. So which basically says, if one VM is not active, we would recompute the shares of the VM based on its utilization of its queue slots, which we can compute by taking the ratio of the number of outstanding IOs and the VM window size. And what this would lead to, that eventually over long term, if a VM gets idle, the beta of the host would get reduced, and the other VMs would only get what they actually deserve. So no VM would be able to take undue advantage of the fact that there is a high priority VM sitting on this host, which currently is not sending any IOs. So we implemented all this in our system, and let's look at some of the experimental results that we get. So we experimented with multiple host cluster, all running ESX hypervisor, and we experimented with multiple storage arrays, both EMC Clarion and NetApp, and we used different volumes with different number of disks and RAID types. So the first experiment here shows the proportional sharing property of Parda. In this case, there are four hosts which have shares in ratio 1:1:2:2, and the latency threshold is set to 25 milliseconds, and they're all running uniform workload, in this case 16 kilobyte reads, which are random. And what we see, so here there are three plots for all of the results. There is window size on the left, latency in the middle, and the IOPS on the right-hand side, all of them plotted over time. So what we see that the window sizes are in proportion to the shares that we set for different hosts. Latency is always maintained close to 25 milliseconds, which is what we set. And the IOPS, they match the share values, but not quite close, because they are also affected by the other factors. For example, some array level scheduling or placement of blocks of your VMDK in the array. Another nice property that we get is the aggregate IOPS that we see from with Parda and without Parda turn out to be very same. What this shows that the mechanism tries to be fair, but it does not lose in terms of overall efficiency. So if you set your latency threshold to be very low, you may see some difference, but in this case, it does not lose any efficiency and still gives you fairness. Next, we look at the dynamic load adaptation property, where the throughput or the load on the array changes over time. So in this case, we have six hosts. They all have equal shares, and they're doing uniform workload. Latency threshold is set to 30 milliseconds. And we stop three of the VMs, which basically would stop the workload coming from three of the hosts at different time intervals. And what we see that as the workload changes, Parda is able to adapt to the load. So when we stop one VM, other host would increase their window size in order to take benefit of the spare capacity which is created. And this happens for all the VMs. And the latency is again close to 30 milliseconds, which is what we set. And the IOPS are also increased as the window sizes of the host are increased and the load from some of the hosts decreases. again, we verify overall efficiency of the mechanism, and we see that it's not only providing isolation, but it's also very efficient and work-conserving in this case. So earlier I gave this example where we had four hosts, six VMs, different shares for the VM, and we saw that the host actually got equal IOPS from the system. So we ran the same setup through Purdah, and in this case we do see that host with different shares, in this case host 1 and 2 have shares 30 and 20, and they do get close to 1800 and 1200 IOPS, which is in ratio 3:2. Similarly, host 3 and 4, which have shares 20 and 10, do get in ratio 2:1. So what this gives us that furthermore, actually, within the host, the shares are still respected for the VMs in ratio 1:2. So if you look at host 1, the two VMs do get 600 and 1200 IOPS, which is what we want. So in this case, the shares are respected independent of the VM placement, and we get this nice end-to-end control over what we are allocating to the VM using Purdah along with SFQ, which is the local scheduler. We also ran this test with a difference where we idle one of the workloads to test our burst handling mechanism. So in this case, it's the same setup, but at time 140 second, we stop one of the OLTP workloads. So what that does is in the bottom graph, which I'm showing beta values with time, we see as the workload stops from one of the VMs, the beta value of the host actually goes from 6:4. And as the beta value has gone down, the window size that the host 2, 3, and 4 get, 1, 2, and 3 get, they start coming to the same value. And later on at time 3:10 seconds, when we start the workload again, the beta value again goes to 6, and we start seeing differentiation in terms of beta and window sizes. So what this shows is that Purdah is able to adjust the beta values based on the current utilization of different VMs. And there is no undue advantage which is given to VMs that happen to be sharing the host with the idle VMs over a long term. Now let's look at a little more complicated real world example. In this case, we have two hosts. Each of them is running a Windows VM running Microsoft SQL Server. And the SQL Server is running a database on 250 gigs data disk and 50 gig log disk. And the shares to the VMs we assign in ratio 1:4. So one VM is much more important and running much more important database than the other one. And the latency threshold we set in this case to 15 milliseconds because most of these OLTP workloads, they do want to see much smaller latencies. So let's look at the overall result first. I'll go into the details of the plots in the next slide. So overall, when we run this system without Purdah, we see that there is no fairness across hosts. These two VMs are running on two different hosts, and the workload we run here is a DVD store benchmark. And the two hosts both get about 600 IOPS, and we get about 8,800 and 8,500 orders per minute in the DVD store benchmark. We ran exactly the same setup with Purdah, and we see that shares are respected across host, and host 1 and 2 with shares 1:4 get about 7,000 and 12,300 orders per minute. So the numbers don't come out exactly 1:4, and let's see why the numbers are not exactly the same. So in order to understand that, we look at the beta values that we see for these two hosts. And we notice that we set the beta value to be 1:4, but it turns out that the VM whose shares are higher is not even able to fill all the slots that it has. So the beta value turns out to be 1:2.5. In this case, if you don't even have enough IOs to fill all the slots that we allocate, then the overall IOPS or orders per minute you will get won't be in ratio 1:4 because that assumes that you have to be backlogged all the time. So in the first phase, you see that the beta values are in ratio 1:2.5, and similarly, the window sizes are about 8 and 21, and the latency is maintained close to 15 milliseconds, which is what we desired. Then you see the change in the workload happens, and the workload beta value goes down further in the middle, in the top graph, And that means that the number of outstanding IOs are actually very low for that phase in the SQL workload. And as the latency drops, you see that Purda quickly reacts and makes the window sizes of the host equal to the limit in this case, which we set 32, which is the maximum value. And later on, around 350 seconds, as the latency starts shooting up again because the workload is sending more and more IOs and beta increases, very quickly Purda reacts to the change and brings back the latency to 15 milliseconds. And the window sizes are again in proportion to 8 and 20. So this shows that Purda is able to react very fast to the dynamic changes in the workload. And even in a real setup, we are able to provide differentiation when needed. But when not needed, we would still be work conserving, and we would be able to consume all the resources at the array. So let's do a recap of the evaluation. We have shown that Purda is effective in terms of providing fairness, in terms of handling load or throughput variations at the array, in terms of handling bursts from the workload and reacting to them fast enough. It also leads to the end-to-end control to give you VM shares across different hosts, and we show the effectiveness across enterprise workloads. There are other experiments that I'm not presenting in the talk due to lack of time, but they are in the paper. Feel free to look at them. Now, in conclusion, we see that Purda provides an efficient distributed IO resource management mechanism without any support from the storage array. So the it'll be agnostic of the storage array that you run in the background, because all the computation that is done is the latency measurements at the host itself. It provides an end-to-end VM allocation proportion to the VM shares, and it also provides a control to handle or to control the overall cluster latency. As part of future work, we are looking into latency threshold estimation and adaption, and what would be good values to set for different workloads, and also how to detect and handle uncontrolled hosts. So for example, if some hosts are following Purda and some other hosts are not, and they are sharing the same LUN, we would like to be able to detect that situation and react to it. And finally, we would like to adapt the mechanism to over NFS as well. At this point, I would be happy to take questions. Feel free to contact any one of us. And we also have a storage BOF tonight at 7:30, where we'll be giving demos of storage vMotion and some other projects. So please drop by. Thank you.
Hong Tang from Yahoo, nice work. I have a small question. So the example you mentioned in the motivation part, it seems there's a little bit gap from the solution you are providing, in the sense that in the motivation example, what you're really having is you want to have prioritized the request scheduling. What you are providing is a proportional scheduling.
True.
So client may not have the prior knowledge how to partition them proportionally.
So you're saying you don't know what proportion to set for the particular VM?
Say, in the motivation example you're providing, how much percentage I should provide for the my data mining workload?
I see. I think that's a very interesting question, and that's another layer that you can build on top of such a mechanism. So if you have a mechanism that provides some proportionate sharing, then I think it's another level where you bump up and you say, now if I have this, what shares I should be setting in order to meet some application level SLAs, or what exact share value should be to meet 15 millisecond latency. I agree. I think that is not part of this solution.
I agree. It's not a big issue, but it would be nice that the mechanism directly supports it.
Oh, okay, sure. Thanks.
Hi. I'm Sorin Fabi, GMC. I have a question about the interaction with the caching mechanism of the storage array. So you are doing all this at the host, but there could be a difference if you're using, you have the prefetch or on or off on the array, because that changed all the queues. So did you look at that as an issue, or it's independent of that? It doesn't have any impact?
I would say it's independent. We are trying to treat array as much as a black box in this mechanism. So if you have caching and prefetching going on, and let's say for one workload you turn off the prefetching, and that leads to high latencies, In that case, the mechanism would react to the system by reducing the window size. So it would say that for some reason, array's throughput has gone down or latencies have gone up, and I need to react to that, and it would react by changing the window size. I think we don't have enough visibility into the array to really get all the detailed information and react to that in any way.
No, my point was you don't want to. I mean, the question is, would it impact your algorithm because of the fact that some data can be in the, found in the cache and then introduce some trepidation, some variation in the system. As a result, your algorithm could be a little bit less stable. So.
No, it won't directly impact the algorithm because if, let's say, one workload gets affected by it and others are not as much affected, since we are computing a cluster-wide average, so if one workload gets slight boost or gets degraded, the cluster-wide average would say, overall, this is the performance impact that we see and would react to that consistent signal instead of reacting to a local signal for a workload.
Okay.
Hi, Rick Spillane from Sternberg University. I just wanted to ask, sort of unrelated, but I think it's important still. So on like machines where you have like this ESX server and you've got VMware migration, these kinds of things, can a low priority machine still hammer the disk or network bandwidth by being migrated to another machine or something like that?
Is that part of the Parda controlled cluster?
Is that part of the keeping the low priority machines from affecting the high priority machines?
That's the goal. So if the low priority machine is part of the Parda cluster, it would react and it won't be able to impact the high priority workloads.
Okay, so this is not something that's just for the virtual guest, it's also something for the underlying server that the VMware may be having its disks written to.
Yeah.
Okay, I understand. Yeah.
Hi, Scott Brandt, UC Santa Cruz. So it looks like you've done a really good job of effectively managing shares when you don't control the storage system in a distributed system. But because the throughput is going to be workload dependent, you're getting a share of a time-varying performance. So I'm wondering if you figured out how to get an absolute performance, for instance, for a multimedia application that needs a throughput target.
So in this case, I think what we are trying to say is that we would partition the array queue in some form according to your shares, and then if array prefers your workload, if array gives you a certain throughput for that share of the queue, you would be able to get that throughput, which in some sense is also similar to the case, if you look at CPU, you may assign different milliseconds to different workloads, but then you cannot guarantee that they would register equal number of instructions.
This isn't a very good analogy because CPU performance is pretty constant depending on which instructions you're performing. But storage performance varies a lot depending on the workload.
True. I think this won't give you the hard guarantees in terms of throughput. It will be difficult to give because the overall capacity itself would change. And then even if we do a good job of allocating that within VMs, it's not going to meet a hard throughput guarantee.